This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. There's been a development in the election conspiracy case against Donald Trump. A federal judge today ordered Trump and his attorneys to respond by Monday to a motion late last night by special counsel Jack Smith. That motion was filed just hours after Trump posted a message on social media that some thought threatened federal prosecutors. It said, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
He's sending not-so-veiled threats to potential witnesses in this case that if they cooperate with the government, they're going to have to face Trump and his followers. And that's a very chilling message.
A county judge in one of the country's biggest states has put a hold on a new abortion law.
Judge Jessica Mangrum issued an injunction blocking Texas's abortion bans as they apply to dangerous pregnancy complications. This comes after 13 Texas women sued the state when doctors refused to perform the procedure under the medical emergency exemption for fear they could receive jail time. Their attorney, Molly Duane.
Physicians need to have wide discretion in exercising their reasonable medical judgment.
Texas is expected to appeal the decision. The state contends the law doesn't need changing, and the fault lies with the doctors misunderstanding the medical emergency exemption. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Low pressure in the Midwest will make for big changes in other parts of the country in the next few days, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
That's going to help drive some of the storms both to the north and even to the south as well. The big contrast in air masses helping to kind of keep things stirred up a bit here and rather active right through the much of the weekend, again, into early next week.
This is Chris Livesay with the Pope in Fatima, Portugal. Hundreds of thousands of Catholics congregated at one of the most venerated shrines to Mary, where Pope Francis recited the rosary with sick inmates and young people with illnesses and disabilities. As the pontiff's military helicopter landed, nearby wildfires filled the sky with smoke and sent ash floating down on the crowd.
Even a small amount of alcohol can affect your heart, says CBS's Natalie Brand.
A new study warns that having as little as one drink a day may increase systolic blood pressure. That's the top number in a blood pressure reading, even in those without existing hypertension. This study, published in the journal Hypertension, looked at 19,000 people. It finds the negative impacts continue to rise with every additional drink.
Researchers at Georgetown University say something called adultification bias is affecting how black girls are treated in many areas of their lives. They say black girls are treated more harshly because some adults perceive them to be older.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin has the largest and longest-running youth apprenticeship program in America. Now, it's being recognized as one of the best. Mike Moan reports.
This summer, the Urban Institute issued a policy brief about the history and reach of the state's apprenticeship program for high school-age students. The authors say Wisconsin has adopted a well-structured, low-cost system with state support that allows for plenty of local control. The Institute's Robert Lerman helped compile the findings. It says the Badger State's approach really gets to the heart of blending academics with on-the-job training.
They have part of the day or part of the week. They're at their workplace. But the whole point is that the workplace is a learning center for them.
Lerman says that's especially important for high school students worried about the cost of college. The Institute says another highlight of Wisconsin's program is that it has statewide curriculum skill standards, meaning an apprentice's credentials can be portable. Researchers say a weak spot is limitations for youth to move on to registered apprentice systems that offer extended training. Lerman suggests if more states beef up their programs as Wisconsin has,
we can improve equity and improve opportunity and efficiency and productivity for the country.
He adds his research has found that in general, U.S. apprenticeship programs lag behind many other countries in terms of their scope. Meanwhile, Wisconsin's program for youth has seen strong demand, including this past school year, with more than 5,700 employers providing apprenticeships to nearly 8,300 students. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5
The Tap.
I'm sorry, I'm really riled up this morning.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Just what a... I want to swear. I want to swear so badly.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
So, are Nazis and drag shows as equally harmful? Asking for a certain Wisconsin representative. 844-967-2789. I have a feeling that a lot of people who are listening would probably say no.
They are not
equally damaging or threatening, but you never know, because there are some people out there who very vehemently believe that drag shows equal pedophilia.
Even though, and I've mentioned this before, I keep a running tally on a weekly basis of the number of men who are charged with sex crimes against children.
We all need hobbies, Jane.
Well, you got to do something with your time.
Something with that time, and that extra time you have.
Shockingly, because there are like five a week.
Jeez.
And that's probably an underestimation because I can't keep up with everything. But there are five a week that are straight men, youth ministers, pastors, former pastors, in some cases, attorneys, in some cases, law enforcement. And not one drag queen has been arrested. Not one drag queen has been arrested for child pornography or trying to, you know, hook up with a person they think is underage. No, it's not drag queens.
Well, you know, what's also interesting is that Vice News published an article on July 20th of 2023 with the headline, "Why Do Neo-Nazis Keep Getting Arrested for Child Sexual Abuse Material?"
Huh.
Huh.
Hmm.
So, let's get to the point of why I'm asking this question. Over the weekend, there was a Pride in the Park event in Watertown, Wisconsin. Watertown, Wisconsin, small town. I don't know if I've ever stopped in there. Definitely have driven through it. And it did indeed feature a drag story time and drag shows. And it was in the park, so it was public. Wisconsin is not one of the states that has banned drag. So they were perfectly fine. There was protests last year. Last year, there was an opposing group that tried to get the event canceled. They were not able to do that. There was protests. And inevitably, there was protests again this year, which is fine. Everyone's right to do exactly that. But they had all their, the group that organized the event, Unity for, what is it called? Unity for Watertown. Why can't I see? Unity Project of Watertown, sorry. And they had their permits to do the event, so they were going to do the event. And at one point during the event, an armed neo-Nazi group called Blood Tribe, which, you
fun,
know.
Fun group.
Fun group. Fun name. Mm. Showed up for about 45 minutes. So there was a video journalist there who took to Twitter on Saturday to document the protests and wrote, "Blood Tribe group marching in Watertown, Wisconsin, protesting Pride in the Park." In her video, one neo-Nazi group member can be seen carrying a weapon. And it's not, it was not clear at that point whether other members were armed. And there was some video that was posted, if you want to play some of it.
No pedals on our streets!
No pedals on our streets!
No pedals on our streets!
There will be blood! Blood! Blood!
Pedophiles get the rope!
Pedophiles get the rope!
Pedophiles get the rope!
So, to paint a visual, or if you couldn't understand, because they were all wearing masks, so
yeah,
you can't.
They're so brave and they're so proud of their identity.
Yeah, so that you can't identify any of the people. They were wearing masks, but then also weirdly, they were wearing like all wearing khakis.
Yeah,
which now there's a whole other part of Twitter that is convinced that they're feds.
Yeah. Because of the way they dress.
Because of the way they dress. That those guys, the Blood Tribe is feds. This other group called Patriot Front are just feds.
Trying to stir up trouble.
Or they're undercover on Tifa.
Oh, right.
But, you know, so they were, for the 45 minutes they were there, they were chanting things like, "Us or the pedophiles."
Pedophiles get the rope.
Pedophiles get the rope. There will be blood, blood, blood. And, you know, it's, they're there to intimidate you. So what we know about what Blood Tribe is, so from the Anti-Defamation League, they describe Blood Tribe as a neo-Nazi group with semi-autonomous chapters in the United States and Canada. Blood Tribe promotes hardline white supremacist views and openly directs its vitriol at Jews, non-whites, and the LGBTQ plus community. Blood Tribe formed in 2021 when neo-Nazi Christopher Paulhaus began referring to his followers as the Blood Tribe. As his following grew, he began holding and attending private white supremacist gatherings, which eventually led to the formal Blood Tribe membership ceremonies. I wonder what's entailed in that.
Oh, I'm sure it's a lot of fun.
In 2023, members of the Blood Tribe began participating in anti-LGBTQ plus protests. During those protests, dozens of members dressed uniformly in red shirts, black masks, and black pants shouted racial and anti-LGBTQ plus slurs, waved swastika flags, and gave Hitler salutes. So that's what we know about Blood Tribe. What we know about Unity Project of Watertown, according to their Facebook page of what how they describe themselves and what their mission statement is. Unity Project of Watertown was created to bring awareness to social issues in the Watertown area. We welcome anyone as long as they are respectful of others. Our mission statement is to promote a sense of acceptance and belonging among all members of our community. Same, same.
Oh, they're just exactly,
same.
Exactly the same. Except for the whole death and blood and all that stuff.
And according to, well, and she deleted it, so maybe she doesn't actually believe this, but Representative Barbara Dietrich of Oconomowoc originally was someone who was voicing her dismay that there was going to be public drag shows. And so her first tweet was, "If you want to have a drag show, rock on, but do it in an indoor space without children. Today, Patrol Parents Wisconsin and Gays Against Groomers were out protesting the open-air drag show with children's activities in the city of Watertown. While I do not represent the city, I do represent," she goes, it's been deleted, so I can't see because this is just a screenshot.
Sure.
Then about 3 hours later, she found out that there were Nazis at the protest.
Whoops.
And she said, "I have learned that a neo-Nazi group decided to stir things up outside the open-air drag show in Watertown today. I find that loathsome. How shamefully far things have descended in our communities between sexualizing kids and disturbing hate groups." And if I just find it so disingenuous to put these two things together.
And say they're the same.
And say that they're both equally harmful to our communities. And so I'm asking you, are they? Are these two things equally bad? 844-967-2789. When you hear the description of a group called Blood Tribe, and what they promote and what they stand for compared to a group that's mission is to be inclusive. How can you say that they're the same? And in the same sentence, condemn both, where one is literally trying to be a safe environment in a small town.
A little over 22,000 people in
Watertown. And versus a group that idealizes Hitler.
And looks forward to killing fellow Americans.
And but that was the rhetoric that I was seeing as far as, I mean, there was also the rhetoric, like I said, of a certain amount of people convinced that they were planted there
right.
to make MAGA look bad. But I always think, like, when that starts to happen, don't you think the people in the group who showed up to protest want to be like, no, that was us. That was us. Like, don't take that away from us.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't know.
Like, to show up and make the effort, even if you are hiding behind a mask, to disrupt a organization, wouldn't you want to come out and be like...
Take credit
for it when they're trying to take it away from you and say that it was either Antifa or the feds.
But that gives them some extra wiggle room to keep throwing out these conspiracy theories that the FBI is the one who was behind January 6th. And so I can see where they would want to play that both ways. And again, if you're so proud of your beliefs, then take your masks off, you big cowards.
I know. At least, and I was thinking about that as far as how intimidating it must be to see a group like that descend upon a group, especially when they're armed.
No kidding.
But it's also interesting how I was thinking about this of, this is becoming a, you know, more and more frequent occurrence of, you know, protesters that show up to different events, which, you know, to a certain extent, as long as they're not hurting anybody, is within their right. It's upsetting, but it's fine. And in comparison to how desensitized, at least I feel to it, of hearing about this and being like, oh, God, yeah, there's a group out there doing XYZ thing. Compared to Charlottesville in 2018.
Jews will not replace us?
Yes. And none of them were wearing masks. They were wearing khakis, though.
Yes, they were wearing khakis. And if you remember, our former president said that during those protests, there were very fine people on both sides.
So I don't know. Do you find any argument whatsoever to be true that these two things are the same and they both should be condemned and just nobody should have been at the park in Watertown this weekend and everything would have been fine? 844-967-2789. When we come back from this first break, we will read your texts or your calls. I also looked up just to see what other hate groups Southern Poverty Law Center has documented in Wisconsin. So I can let you know about that. And also, I'm once again going to ask you, what would happen at your job if you almost started a fist fight and called someone a PSSY? Because that's still happening in Congress. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. Fly.
flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bright. She is Jane Matinere. And this is it's the last day of July.
Yes.
Jeez.
The summer has just gone whoosh.
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 And coming up, we have two times today that we're giving away Wisconsin State Fair tickets. So if you would like to win some free tickets, we're giving them away at 10:50 and 11:20. So set a timer.
And you can't lose.
And you can't lose.
This game.
844-967-2789. So that is coming up later in today's show. But right now, we are talking about an event that happened in Watertown, Wisconsin over the weekend at a event that was Pride in the Park, organized by Unity Project of Watertown. And a neo-Nazi group called Blood Tribe showed up. And
big brave men.
No one got hurt. It was about 45 minutes. It sounds like it was intimidating, as it's meant to be. But I picked up on what happened on Twitter when people were talking about the event. And I'd love to talk to someone who was actually there and hear more about what happened and how disruptive it actually was. But at least there was video footage of them being there and the chance that they were screaming. And what I saw, including from Representative Barbara Dietrich, was the idea that both are bad.
Drag shows in
public are bad.
And Nazis in public are bad.
And I just wholeheartedly, with my full chest, want to say that is BS. It is just total BS that a drag show is as harmful and inherently violent in its imagery and what it represents as Nazis. And I'm glad she deleted the tweet, which I think is an admission of, I got that one wrong.
What? Ruh-roh.
What would really be admission is saying, hey, I got that wrong, and taking accountability but this is also the same person who keeps pushing all the anti-trans sports bills, even though I've yet to see her tweet once about the U.S. women's soccer game.
But she's very concerned about women in sports.
Kristen. Very concerned about women in sports, but yet not celebrating any women in sports, from what I can tell. She tweets a lot.
Yeah.
And now because I've gone down this rabbit hole a couple of times, now she pops up every time she tweets on my X or whatever we're calling this.
Yeah,
now.
I'm never calling it that.
Joe McClear piping in on the Facebook live stream, which you are always welcome to watch instead of just listen to us. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Give us a follow when you're there. Just find us at As Goes Wisconsin. Joe McClear says, Barbara Dietrich, had she lived in the Mississippi in the 50s, quote, I just learned that 14-year-old Emmett Till was brutally murdered. How shamefully far things have descended in our communities between whistling at a woman and beating young boys to death. Woof.
Wow.
Joe, coming out hard on a Monday.
Wow. You know, the other thing that always amazes me when they talk about the sexualization of our kids, nobody brings up 5-year-olds being dressed up like 30-year-olds to compete in beauty pageants.
And pageants. Well, some people bring it up.
Not enough.
People bring it up as they, exactly like you did, of like, well, we sexualize them in other ways.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, get the onesies that say heartbreaker or, you know, lock up your daughters or all these things as like little babies and assuming that they're going to be, you know, heartbreakers.
Sex kittens when they grow up. But that's not sexualizing our kids.
No.
That's fine. And normal.
And it's just interesting the, because inherently somewhere in there, they know that it is bad or it is, because they want to make it about pedophilia and sexualizing kids in, because they know that it is bad to make it just about being anti-gay and anti-queer. Right? They know that's discriminatory.
Right.
So they have to try to make the link to make it predatory in some way.
Yes.
In the same way, I feel like when we talk about racial stuff, it's not about race. It's about meritocracy. It's about income inequality and not understanding how those things are inextricably linked. And I'm not racist. I just think these things. Because they know inherently it is bad to be racist. Not everyone, but you know, most people will not admit that they have a bias towards people who are not like them. And so they have to like make it about another thing.
To justify it.
To justify it instead of just saying the quiet part out loud, which is, I am uncomfortable with gay people. I am uncomfortable with gayness. And I am comfortable with things that I don't understand. And that's what this is. 844-967-2789. It is interesting, though, because I looked to see if Blood Tribe was one of the groups that Southern Poverty Law Center lists as a hate group in Wisconsin. It's not.
So they traveled here.
So they either traveled here or just it's not, this list is not up to date because this is in 2022. So in 2022, they tracked 21 hate and anti-government groups in Wisconsin. So as far as the, there's more anti-government groups, it seems like American Meeting Group, which is statewide, ASN Study Guide and University, American State Nationals. I haven't heard of that.
Oh, that sounds like a real good school.
Constitution Party is an anti-government movement. Folks Front, Folkish Resistance Movement, neo-Nazi statewide. John Birch Society, that's been around for a long time.
Yes,
that's
a long time.
Anti-government movement. And then it's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 chapters of Moms for Liberty are now listed. Wood County, so that's our WFHR. Rock County, Racine, Polk, Ozaukee, and Kenosha. Pretty interesting. All right, when we come back, we'll get to some headlines. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News brief, a federal judge today ordered Donald Trump to respond by Monday to a motion by special counsel Jack Smith that sought to prevent Trump from posting or disseminating evidence from his election conspiracy case. CBS News has learned the Trump team has asked the judge now to give them until Thursday to respond to the request. Smith filed his motion last night, hours after Trump posted a message on social media seen by some as threatening. Indictment number 3 is likely not the last for Donald Trump, says CBS's Christina Ruffini.
Trump is also facing an August deadline for Georgia to file long-anticipated charges that he tried to pressure state officials there to overturn the election results.
Texas is appealing a hold on the state's near-total abortion ban. KEYE-TV reporter Paige Hubbard.
On Friday, Travis County Judge Jessica Mangrum issued a ruling that physicians cannot face repercussions for using good faith judgment when deciding it's appropriate to conduct the procedure.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Baugh.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Donald J. Trump has now been indicted for a third time. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts. Jim Troupas, Ron Johnson, they're coming for you. Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, yeah, you as well.
Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Flame, start a reaction that can't be contained. Balance your pH by sharing my base. I'll be your star if you'll be my space.
Cause there is no distance that I wouldn't go. Through space-time and wormholes, my matter would flow to the edge of the universe.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. What song were we just listening to?
That's a science love song.
Science love song.
Science love song by ASAP Science.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Well, just a reminder, in the next segment, we are going to be giving away 2 to 4 more tickets for the state fair.
You can't lose.
If you would like to win those, because you can't lose, get ready to call in at 1150-844-967-2789. We will play our fun game about food, state fair food. So we will be playing that in the next segment. But for this segment, so I did see Barbie over the weekend. Still want to talk about that tomorrow. But I have yet to see Oppenheimer. But that is the other movie, obviously, driving so many people to the theaters right now. It's Christopher Nolan's new film about the Manhattan Project during World War II that led to the creation of nuclear weapons. And then yesterday, I saw an article in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a Wisconsin woman who worked on the Manhattan Project, but is not a character in Oppenheimer, and someone I had never heard of. So I'm so excited to talk to our next guest. Megan Pickett is a Lawrence University professor of physics, and she's currently researching the life of Elda Anderson, who is Wisconsin's Marie Curie. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so this is, I love stories like this, as far as just
hidden figures.
The hidden figures of history that are often women. Mm-hmm. But I guess to just get started, who was Elda Anderson?
That's a great question, because so she was a Wisconsin born and bred physicist. She was born in 1899 in Green Lake. And she went to college at Ripon and at Madison, and then eventually became a physics professor at Milwaukee Downer College. And in fact, she was the first woman to earn tenure in physics at Milwaukee Downer College. And then a few decades later, Milwaukee Downer College merged with Lawrence College to make Lawrence University, which is where I teach. So Elda was fascinated with fundamental physics. Her main interest in physics was trying to tease out the structure of matter. And that's what she did her dissertation on in Madison, by looking at the light of calcium and nickel and being able to map out the structure of those atoms. Her exactingly precise work, which again is done without computers, mm-hmm. done by hand, got her the attention of the War Department in Princeton. So she was recruited to Princeton in the early 40s. And then while she was at Princeton, she was one of the first people that was recruited to the Manhattan Project. The Manhattan Project was a series of different labs. We often think of the Manhattan Project and think of Los Alamos. Los Alamos is technically what they call Project Y. They had a couple of labs in Hanford and in Oak Ridge to make the fuel. They had a place in Chicago, a place in Princeton. But Los Alamos is where they built the bomb.
Yeah.
And her job there was to analyze the light and figure out how likely was it that you could split apart the uranium fuel to make the bomb work. So she was, without her work, without what she did and how she did it, the bomb wouldn't have worked. So she was there. She was there for the Trinity test. She stayed about another year after that. And then when she came back to Wisconsin, she only stayed at Milwaukee Downer for another year or two before being offered a position at Oak Ridge Lab, where she helped create a brand new branch of physics called health physics, which looked at the impact of radiation on human beings, health, and how do you interact safely with radiation. And that's what she worked on the remainder of her career until she died in 1961 of cancer, possibly due to her war research. Nobody's ever heard of her.
Yeah.
And she was well known. She was well known at the time, and she kind of slipped into obscurity.
Megan, I mean, do we know much about her childhood? Did she come from a scientific family? She must have been a unicorn among physicists at that time.
She was. So her family history is kind of interesting. She was the second of three children. She had an older sister, a younger brother. Her brother died in a car crash. But early in her childhood, there was a big scandal. Her father kind of ran off with the local doctor's wife. And so she was on her own with her mom and her siblings, and she excelled in math and was encouraged to study math and Latin and physics at Ripon College. And it turned out that she was so good that they held her on to help do some of the teaching while she was there. After she graduated in 22, she went to Iowa for a job at a junior college. They didn't have a science, they didn't have science departments or science divisions. So at the age of, I think she was 24, she created the science division at this junior college and became its first dean. And I think of what I was doing when I was 24. I was not the dean of science.
You weren't starting academic divisions at school.
No. But then after that, she came back to the Fox Valley and was principal at Menasha High School for a couple of years before she then joined the faculty at Milwaukee Downer College. And that's where... that's where I first learned of her. When I earned tenure in 2010, and the archivist here told me I was the first woman to earn tenure in physics at Lawrence in our 175-year history. And then she said, but if you include Milwaukee Downer College, you're the second. First one is Elba. And there's just no monument, no buildings or anything named after her. So it's really what drove me to start researching her life.
So what has that process been like? Because you're a physicist, you teach physics, mm-hmm. which is science, and now you are on a historical research journey that is, like, hopefully, I think, from what I got from the article, is like you're going to publish a biography on her. So how different is this from the research you're used to doing?
Oh, it's so different because, I mean, so I'm a theoretical astrophysicist, so I don't normally deal with people. I simulate how solar systems form. And so this is a very different kind of research. And fortunately, I have a collaborator, Kim Teffert, who's a professor at University of Michigan and who has won, there's an annual award in Elda's name for health physics, and she's a previous winner of that award. So she's been working on this separately. I gave a talk about Elda a few years ago. She heard about that. We've gotten together, and so we're sharing notes and materials, and it is a very much a different process, where I'm learning how to submit Freedom of Information Act requests, how to do interviews. And then, I mean, the nice thing about it is that it's also kind of reflective. I think about my own career. Kim thinks about her own career. We think about our own connections to this wonderful woman who's been forgotten and yet contributed so much to two different fields in physics, and then who died so young.
We're talking to Megan Pickett, who is a professor of physics at Lawrence University, about her research about Elda Anderson, who worked on the Manhattan Project, was from Wisconsin, and also just not a lot of people know about her. I'm so happy that the Journal Sentinel wrote about this, so now that I know about her. But it's interesting because, of course, that term hidden figures, you think about the movie. You think about the movie that came out about the women who worked on at the space program at NASA. And it's interesting, like, in your research about Elda, is there other women that have popped up? Like, it's hard not to imagine how many of these figures exist that contributed and worked on projects and kept their head down. And unless you're searching for it, like, you don't know who they were.
Right. Yeah. So, I have, and some of the women that I've come across, I've heard of before. So there are Lisa Meitner's work and, Irene Joliet Curie's work, they weren't technically part of the project, but their work led to the developments in the project. The Manhattan Project had about 600 women working in different parts of the project. Most of them were in what was called, especially at Los Alamos, were part of the Calutron, such an old way that women used to work in sciences. They were human computers. In the history of astronomy, there's a tradition of human computers. That these were women who did the jobs, the tedious, long classification jobs that male scientists didn't want because it didn't pay well and was a lot of work. And it wasn't very flashy. And so there was a group of women that were essentially doing all of the calculations at Project Y. But at Project Y itself, probably about a dozen actual women who were scientists. Of those, Elda was the oldest. She was older than most people. The average age at Project Y was something like 25. And she was 44 when she arrived. Oppenheimer celebrated his 40th birthday while they were there. And being older then meant that she was more or less in charge of the women. She sort of ran the women's dormitory and was kind of a mother figure, which is what she was like at Milwaukee Donner. Huh. But there were certainly other women that were involved. And in fact, there's a woman engineer that worked on the construction of the gadget, the actual test bomb that was loaded up onto the frame for the Trinity test. But it was very, there were women that were part of the project, but very few of their stories are told. They're starting to be told now, but it's sort of drips and drabs.
Yeah.
Hey, Christopher Nolan, if you're listening, this is your next movie.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. Yeah. It was like the real Barbenheimer would have been a movie about the women, because I think there was, my mom read a book, I think called The Girls of Atomic City, which I think it's similar to what you were just talking about, right? She said it was a fascinating book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in fact, in Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, there's one woman character in the at Los Alamos who shows up, and there's just a brief scene where she doesn't know where to go, and she asks Oppenheimer, and Oppenheimer asks her, how fast can she type? And she says, I don't know, I'm a nuclear physicist. And so she represents that one person, and I don't think she even has a name, represents all the women that were at Manhattan Project. It was a cheap, kind of a quick way to include them in. And, you know, I get it. I really liked Oppenheimer.
You liked the movie?
And, I loved it. Okay. I thought the science and the politics of it were great. And it was a study of Oppenheimer. It wasn't supposed to be this big expansive thing of the entire project. So I get that. I would love to see a movie about the women that worked on the Manhattan Project. Yeah. Or a book.
So maybe it'll be based off of your pending biography on Elda Anderson.
Sure.
Get those royalties. Professor Megan Pickett, thank you so much. This was fascinating to learn about, and I can't wait to find once this is published and out there. It's so interesting.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Have a great day. All right. When we come back, we will give away those State Fair tickets. So if you would like to go to the State Fair for free, 844-967-2789. You can't lose. You just have to play 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back in a minute.
Because the heart doesn't feel. When it comes to love, the brain seals the deal. This is your science love song. A place to start. A chemical bond. Search endeavor, the conclusion together, French annotations of bibliography, cause you matter to me.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the
the scales of justice, but not carry by a blindfolded Greek goddess. Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinera. And just to wrap up and put a little bow on...
That was so interesting.
So interesting. You know, previous Miss Wisconsin, who is currently Miss America...
Is a physicist.
Is like a blonde, beautiful young woman who is also a nuclear physicist.
It's mind-boggling.
And so she is... She made the connection. And I think she threw it out there. As like, does any marketing team want to talk to me about this Barbenheimer thing? All right. Well, talking about... Maybe as a Wisconsin, maybe she'll show up to the Wisconsin State Fair.
That'd be great.
But we do have a new Miss Wisconsin, so she may have other obligations. But it's time to win some State Fair tickets. Who do we have playing?
Penny from Plainfield is joining us. Good morning, Penny. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm totally excited.
Good. We love having some enthusiasm. So I'll just remind you of the rules of the game. So I'm going to read off 3 different types of food that are new to the State Fair this year. You get to pick one that you're going to eat the entire thing at least once, one that you're going to eat every day for the rest of your life, and one you're never going to eat and you're going to banish to hell. Are you ready, Penny?
Absolutely.
All right. Number one. Cotton candy jerky. Oh. A new twist on a favorite fair food, cotton candy jerky is an old-fashioned beef jerky flavored like cotton candy. This sweet, salty jerky is sure to please fairgoers of all ages. I don't even know what that would... I can't even imagine what that tastes like and feels like in your mouth.
Bad. Sounds bad.
All right, number 2. Flamin' Hot Cheetos chocolate bark. Oh. With the Flamin' Hot Cheetos chocolate bark, you won't be able to stop at just one bite. Mix Flamin' Hot Cheetos into rich milk chocolate to create the best tasting spicy snack at the State Fair.
If it was dark chocolate,
maybe they'd sell you?
Maybe they could sell me, but I don't know about that.
All right, and the last one is pretty straightforward, Penny. Deep-fried garlic gator toes. Oh. Get your gator toes deep-fried and flavored like garlic. All right. I'll give you a second to think, but then what is going to be your option to eat the entire thing?
Well, compared to my choices, I guess I'd do the cotton candy jerky.
Okay.
Eat it once and get it out of the
get
way.
Get it out of the way.
What? Correct.
What do you want to eat every day for the rest of your life?
I will do the chocolate Cheetos.
Ooh, do you like Flamin' Hot Cheetos normally on their own?
Here and there. I like them. They don't like me.
They don't agree with the digestive tract, but my taste buds, good to go. All right. So that means you have no interest in deep fried gator toes?
No, it doesn't even sound interesting. And, you know, that's no, thank you.
I'm also confused. I feel like when you think of an alligator's foot, there wouldn't be a lot of meat on your toes.
That's the exact thought I had.
Like, it seems like a lot of bone and not a lot of chewy fat things that would taste good, even deep fried. So I agree with you. Well, I think that was a good thing. Go ahead, Betty.
If you go try them, you let me know, okay?
Okay. Well, I am deciding. I was like, when I go, now that we've been playing this game with callers, it's like, all right, when I go, what is going to be my top, like, five things?
Because you're going to do a TikTok.
Because I'm going to do a TikTok and just, like, rank the things that I've got. I was like, there's so many, and there's so many weird ones that I'm like, how do I even choose which ones I'm going to actually spend my own money to subject myself to?
Again, I wish they would have a sampler day.
I know.
Where you could just get a small taste of the weird things instead of having to get an entire portion of gator toes. But maybe next year.
Pitch that, pitch that idea then.
You want 10 toes.
You don't want 10 toes.
You need the one.
Penny, what is your other favorite thing to do at the fair?
Oh, I love going to the animal barns and yeah. Everything. You know, I'm a little up there in age where I can't do the rides much anymore. So.
I mean, I can't. I'm not that up there in the age, and I think I'm beyond doing the rides as well.
You gotta go to the tent where they have the dogs doing the agility stuff. It is the most, it's so much fun. It's so much fun to watch, and it's just pure joy. It's just joyful.
Absolutely. You know what else I remember? Shearing the sheep and how good they are. The people who shear the sheep and how good they are.
They're fast.
And how fast they are and stuff. That's always really fun to watch, too. All right. Well, Penny, thank you for listening, and thank you for playing. Have so much fun.
Don't hang up.
Jane's going to get your information.
I really enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you. We love that you enjoy it. All right. Well, that'll. We still got a couple minutes left for today, but that was a really fun show.
It just flew by. And if you missed the interview that we just did with Megan Pickett, go back to the podcast and take a listen, because it's a Hidden Figures movie in and of itself.
It's so interesting.
It really is. And it just shows, I guess, how important women were in the creation of so many things. And it only takes, you know, 75 years for them to get any credit.
But you know, it was also what I was thinking, flashback to our show on Friday with Maggie Dawn, of who writes the history books, who tells the stories, because there are so many stories to tell. And I think about a friend of mine who, she moved to Savannah, Georgia a couple years back now. And upon moving there, she went on some history tour because it's a city that has a lot of history.
It's supposed to be a beautiful city.
And she found out all the information about, you know, the rich history of the woman who started Girl Scouts.
Oh.
And not only just the history of her starting Girl Scouts, but she herself has this incredible story as far as her marriage and her divorce and all of this stuff. And so now she's a writer, but she's writing her biography and like she's been working on it. But I just think about like the dominance of Girl Scouts still has today, as you know, every once a year, we're all very excited to get our Girl Scout cookie order. And yet her story hasn't necessarily been told, despite the fact that it's fascinating.
Well, there's gotta be someone who's willing to take it on. And as Megan just said too, filing FOIA requests and tracking all this stuff down and finding, you know, who's still alive that I could talk to about this. It's a big undertaking.
That is not her main job.
Right.
Her main job is to teach, be a tenured professor of physics at Lawrence University. But let's take on this other project that is totally outside of my research and experience.
I got so much time.
And so certainly go back. And as always, if you ever miss any part of our show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast, which you can find wherever you find podcasts or on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. Of course, you can download the app so you can always take us with you. You can also text us and call us from there.
More state fair tickets tomorrow.
Two times. We got two more times for tomorrow to give away state fair tickets. And then I'm going to Vegas after tomorrow's show, which I made a joke yesterday saying it's Mike's 40th birthday and his present is that I'm going to tolerate the heat and his debauchery in Vegas at 7.5 months pregnant.
Oh, you're gonna have so much fun.
So much fun. All right, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll do this all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
State Fair is a great state fair. Don't listen, don't even be late.
It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, you'll be very late. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our
state. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.